Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like going to therapy, but we don't just do it on the couch.
Oh, you're so modern.
I don't even have a couch, so I don't know why I said it.
My name is Bebe Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
And we, Miranda, are going to talk to the co-founder of a brand new app, and it's an app about sexual therapy or offering sexual therapy, and it's called Blue Heart.
Oh, nice.
Blue Heart.
Blue Heart.
Heart that is blue.
Should we find out why?
Shall we?
Hi, everyone. My name's Sachin. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Blue Heart, an app building digital sex therapy to help people overcome sexual dysfunction.
Welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, founder of new sexual wellbeing platform, Blue Heart. It's Sachin Raoul. Hello.
Yay. Hey, everyone. Super excited to be here. Can't wait to talk more about sex. I mean, we talk about it all the time.
Is that what we're talking about?
It's literally all we do. We have the funniest office culture where the discussions about sex, and sometimes we have other people around us who are just like, not everyone talks about sex in the same way that we do, which can be absolutely hilarious.
This is supposed to be a podcast about fine art and literature. I've actually had an education. I don't know how I'm here.
I mean, actually love art, so we can go down that route if you like.
Okay, no, I know, I know nothing. Before we go into any of that, your hair's so lovely.
Oh, thanks. You know what? I washed it specially for you guys.
Did you? Yeah. What do you use?
Pantene Pro-V shampoo and conditioner. I don't
all
know.
All in one?
I know. No, of course not. Come on. This is actually the longest my hair's ever been. And I'm slowly learning about hair with my new endeavor. Because you know, I grew up as a stereotypical boy where you have to have short hair. And so you don't really take care of it. You just put water in it and you're finished. And now I'm recognizing that I can't do that anymore. Otherwise, the grease bags will come out and comments are made. Not that I care, but that's why I washed it today.
We appreciate that. It looks beautiful. Miranda, do you love Sachin's hair? Yes or no?
Well, I was just caught on the word grease bags because I was like, is that a word we should be saying on a sex podcast? Because that immediately has just brought me off to another completely different topic of conversation. How are your grease bags, Sachin?
They've been good recently. Lockdown has been kind to them, sure.
So talk to us. What is Blue Heart?
So Blue Heart is a sexual therapy app. And the prime goal is to help people overcome sex-related problems. So that is when, I went through a sex-related problem myself. And, when I started to look for help, I basically found that the internet is a minefield of garbage, of which I didn't know how to navigate.
That's rude.
That's true. But how do we find you? I need to know good sex, bad sex. And so finding help was just such an issue. And then the other obvious option was therapy, which was just so expensive that it was essentially unaffordable. And I knew that, sex-related problems aren't just for people with money, they're for everyone. And so everyone is having these problems and yet they don't have access to them. And so I kind of felt that that was wrong. And I wanted to build a tool that I wish existed when I was facing the issues that I had, because they're really isolating. They're quite lonely and we're not really well educate them how to chat about some of these things, and I just think everyone should be.
Do you think that one of the problems is that we're getting a lot of false information and it's hard to get to the right information? Like, it's easy to say online that you're a doctor, but are you actually?
I yes is my answer to that. I find that there are some really good kind of scientifically backed therapists out there putting out really high quality information. But then there's a ton of garbage that the garbage outweighs the kind of academic rigor of some of the people putting information out there. And yeah, I think that makes the situation even worse, because sometimes the opinions can be the complete opposite. So if you read two things, both of them are doctors, you can't really assess who's a better doctor. And so you've got two opposite things and you're like, well, do I listen to one? Do I listen to the other? How am I making that choice? I mean, the answer is, it's hard. You don't really know who to listen to. And so where do I find something that has a reputation of giving out good information that is digestible? I find, like, I really love reading the academic papers, but, you know, they're not for everyone. And so kind of plowing through boring stats is not necessarily the most attractive thing to do when you're trying to overcome a problem. You want something that's kind of like easily available and communicates to you. And I don't think traditionally sex has done a good job of giving, sending that, those positive information out to people.
So two things. How are you brave enough, you yourself, how are you brave enough to talk about this? Because it's, you know, everyone says it's hard to talk about sex, especially if you're a bloke, I think, yeah. It's an issue. Yeah. And what was your background that you thought that you could do an app on this? Because if, you know, if the information online is coming from some kind of experts isn't good enough, why did you feel confident enough to be able to do it yourself?
Yeah. In terms of like getting comfortable talking about it, it wasn't easy from the get-go. I remember the first time I kind of, I'd met with my co-founder and CTO, Robbie, and basically we were going to present the idea in front of about 100 people. And, you know, he said to me, he said, are you sure you want to talk about this? And I, in my head, I kind of said, if I can't talk about this and I think this is a problem, then we have a problem to start with. So like, I feel like I have to talk about this, even if it's difficult. And I remember giving the presentation, like really shaking, really being quite nervous, talking about it, feeling quite emotional. But honestly, now I've done it like 100 times that it just feels natural. It feels comfortable and it feels right that, you know, we should talk about it. But it definitely wasn't easy to start with. But that became easier the more you talk about it and the more you realize actually there are a lot of other people that have these problems, which, you know, if anything, talking about it was a much more connecting experience than it is disconnecting, because you chat about it and then not necessarily publicly or openly, but privately, people will come to you and say, you know what, actually I had this really difficult situation. You know, I was either a victim of sexual violence or, you know, it could be any number of things. And, you know, they feel more comfortable chatting about it with you because you've been open talking about it. So that's been really nice. On the second question of like why I think, you know, I wanted to do it. Certainly I knew I didn't have the kind of like, let's call it the sex industry expertise. So we needed to find someone. So I just immediately tried to find as many experts as I could possibly get hold of. And Dr. Hertline, who's now working with us and has been basically from the very start, you know, I emailed her, as I did a bunch of great authors that I'd come across, and I said, hey, look, I'm really looking into this idea. I see this is a problem. And she messaged me back in about 2 hours being like, call me now. And we kind of, a week later, I flew to meet her in Salzburg, and that was it. And we kind of took it from there, but we really needed to have that kind of industry validation of someone that's really knowledgeable saying, yes, this can be done and I want to help you do it.
And this is, we're talking about sexual dysfunction. Is that how you describe it?
Yeah,
and
we're talking about sexual dysfunction. Yeah.
What would you, how would you define that?
I would say any sex-related problem that causes somebody stress or anxiety. I'm like purposefully leaving it open because I think there are some strict definitions out there that, you know, people draw upon, such as, you know, some people have like time criteria that, you know, it has to have gone on for more than 6 months. I generally like to stay away from those types of designations because, you know, I don't think we know enough about sexual dysfunction to say this is the criteria. I think we know just about enough to say, look, if it's causing you stress and it's causing you and it's causing you kind of like mental health problems, then it doesn't matter what you have. It's a problem, and someone should be listening and say, I believe you that this is causing you stress and this problem, and we want to investigate how to help you, versus having a criteria, not fitting that criteria, and then thinking, oh, like, you know, you might even feel even more isolated because this criteria which you think you might have is saying this isn't you, and then you're even more lost being like, oh, there's literally nothing and no one out there that is telling me what I have. How do I overcome that? So I like to leave it broad to help anyone if they say I have this problem, that we say we believe you and we want to help you, and you just tell us how you're feeling.
So it's anything basically that is stopping one having the sex life they want.
Yeah, and being happy. I think a lot of that is also connecting to other individuals. And certainly I've had that with one of the issues that I was facing where, you know, it some people would say it's invalid, and I obviously don't feel that way. I'm like, look, it's causing me distress. You know, the only person who knows how I feel is me, and the only person who knows how you feel is you. Why should anyone else tell you that that's not an issue if you feel it is?
What is your approach then? So there are all these issues, whatever they may be, and it's kind of a three-pronged approach. There's body, thoughts, and connection.
Yeah, so I have to admit, we are actually changing this right now, just as a slight caveat to that. But the kind of like the core intervention wouldn't change. It's just kind of about how we're presenting it. But right now, we do want to be a platform for everyone. Like, we just want to encompass as many issues, as many people from as many backgrounds, however wide you can possibly imagine that to be. We would love to encompass all of them. Right now, just from a kind of like tech development perspective, we were like, let's just pick one very specific thing and let's try and nail this hard. Excuse the innuendo. Hey. I try not to use sex jokes, sex innuendos, because I find them too easy.
We love when you slip one in. Just slip one in. That's fine.
Right now we're dealing with sex drive discrepancy. And so that's when you've got two partners that are having friction as a result of differences in sex drive. And that's kind of like the core focus of what we're trying to achieve with the product now. And then once we've really got something that's really working for a lot of people, we'll then kind of like grow the scope of that to include lots of different dysfunctions. But right now it's kind of sex drive discrepancy. Here we go.
So you're going to be talking about eventually at the point where you've got lots of different areas to talk in, but also you've got so many different people. So it's a really wide net, if you see what I mean, because everybody is very different and there's a lot of nuance there and everything. And you're going to be offering bespoke treatment plans delivered digitally via audio and written materials. Where do you even start?
So, I mean, I think the first thing that I learned was, even though the manifestations of a problem might come out as nuanced, the root cause of the problems are quite similar from individual to individual.
Okay.
So I think we see people's kind of like behaviors and thoughts being quite different, and therefore we think how we approach and help those people is different, but actually the root causes of what they're dealing with. I know Dr. Hertline will say to me, and she says a lot, it comes down to predominantly two things, perceived lack of control and perceived neglect. So if you feel like you're being neglected, or you're feeling like you're losing control in a situation, whether that's over yourself or a partner or a relationship, like that's kind of like the root, which is causing all of these problems, and they can grow over time. Mm-hmm. But and how they grow and what they look like in terms of your behavior might be different, but that's like at the heart of what we really need to look at and dealing with those anxieties.
Okay,
so that would just be to kind of going with Miranda's question, your approach to any issue will be tackling those two causes.
I don't want to say, like, I would say most of sex therapy is tackling those two causes. For different dysfunctions, they may vary, but I would say that that's very much like a core of what we're dealing with right now. And the kind of the thoughts body connection is really just a way to communicate what the sessions might include. So right now, one of the core interventions we have is called Sensate Focus, which involves kind of touching exercises to like slowly help you manage anxieties in sexual encounters, sexual scenarios. A bit like, it's almost like meditation, but like sex meditation. Less airy fairy than that. But it's kind of like touching your body, connecting with your body, and managing how your body might be closing down sex and the thoughts you're coming in. You know, am I going to please my partner? I don't like the way I look. We're trying to train you to filter out those thoughts in a non-judgmental way, so that you just let your body react naturally. I think that's the core of all of this, is trying to get your body to react naturally, because our psychology has been screwed by society since we were born, that we're trying to reverse engineer all of those kind of like blockers that are preventing you from kind of like just letting your body do what it does naturally. And that's kind of what we're trying to help people with.
What's your beginner's guide? So say someone's downloaded the app.
Yeah.
Where do they start? What's the first button they press?
So the first thing would be understanding kind of what is too easy or too hard for someone. So for one person, they might feel really comfortable being naked, being in front of the mirror, touching themselves. For someone else, it might take a lot longer for them to feel comfortable doing those activities. So I think we've got to take, we actually are creating a format where people are kind of telling us what they feel comfortable with, and we'll kind of start them off there. So the journey will be different for each person. But I would say that the ground zero is trying to have someone feel comfortable naked. And I would say that that's the starting point. If you're not feeling comfortable naked, and even the thought of that is giving you anxiety, it will generally make sex quite difficult before you even think about introducing a partner. So it's really, how can we manage the thoughts and anxieties that you're having and try to understand where they might be coming from to make you feel more calm and comfortable. And we start kind of with, let's say, like short 5-minute blocks of these, so that, you know, they're not too long. And those will then increase in not only in time, but also what you're doing. So initially we will say you are not allowed to touch your breasts, chest, and genitals because they might traditionally come with more anxieties. So you're just exploring other parts of your body. And a lot of people will find that actually areas outside of those kind of your chest and your genitals can actually be really, really erotic and really arousing, but they've never ever thought to touch or explore it because, again, we're just really poorly educated on sex in our bodies. And so we initially would start someone off there by just, you know, touching your arm for a few brief seconds, just really trying to connect with your body and thinking about three key sensations: temperature, pressure, and texture. If you can successfully focus on temperature, pressure, and texture whilst you touch yourself, sex is going to be awesome. Like, it's just going
to
be great.
And is it available now for people to download?
Yeah, absolutely available now. You can access it. And right now you can also speak to in-house therapists if you feel like chatting to someone. And one of our big benefits is that it's completely private. You don't have to talk to someone, but I know there are people that just, you know, they just have a question or they want additional support. And honestly, the in-house therapists are so awesome. I would really urge anyone to speak to them because I think they're absolutely wonderful. They're great. But I also get that it's not as comfortable for some people to open up about some of the things that they're struggling with another person, which, again, is kind of why we created Blue Heart, because we recognize that that's a challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Why is it called Blue Heart?
So the kind of like idea here was like, we wanted to connect kind of like feelings of maybe struggles where like blue is kind of attached to kind of like sadness, and then pairing that with something warm and loving. And so like heart kind of like connected together with that. And yeah, that's kind of, we tried a lot of names actually. I saw on my computer, I had like notes, which I just happened to come across, of like all the old names that we had. And some of them are awful. I think one of them was like,
Oh, come on.
Some of them were like Harpo, which is all. In fact, I think I've actually got it on my screen here. Let me see if I can find it. We look back and we're like, oh my God, what? Big Harpo, yeah. Because of Hippocrates. Is
does
like
it?
The god of
good.
But we also, I mean, we get with the Blue Heart, some of the things that come through, we get like, there are people like Blue Heart, like blue balls, and I was like,
yeah,
it's not where it came from, but I can see it. And then they also get Blue Heart from like blue and like the connotations of porn. And so, you know, you're always gonna have multiple meanings. I can't really say I'm happy with all of them.
It's like, have you ever heard, because when I first saw the name, when it came up in my email, I thought it was Beefheart, and I was Beefheart. Like, now I know right. Where that name comes from. That's because if you crunch your little winky a bit too much, it looks like a big old beef heart on the end. But that's where the name came from. Yeah, Captain Beefheart, that was what he used to do. He'd go, I've got a big old beef heart for you, and it would be the,
I mean, another big part of it is, you know what, finding a fucking domain name to host.
Yes!
Right? It's not hard. So we even have some golden names, but like those domains aren't available. So you're always just like searching, and then you'll get one and be like, oh my God. And then you've got to make it work.
What's your ultimate aim for Blueheart? Beefheart. What's your aim for Blueheart?
The vision is... So I think the whole world is moving towards the digitization of therapy. My belief on this is we are all going to be doing therapy of some kind on our phones in the future. That's not necessarily just sex therapy. That could be all types of kind of mental health therapy that can help you. And then I think I think the real movement here, which I'm really excited about, is the idea that therapy is for people that have problems, who are broken, to fix them, versus therapy that's just something that everyone should do because it will make you happier and healthier. And so with that movement towards kind of like a just everyone should be doing therapy because it's great for you and people are seeing the value in it, and with technology and smartphones improving, we are all going to be having, you know, 20-minute therapy sessions on our phones when we're struggling, or continuously, because it's such a good exercise. And so the vision here is that anyone, when you are faced with a sex-related problem, whether by yourself or with a partner or wherever it might come out, the first name that comes to mind or the first action that you want to take is, I should get Blueheart. That's where we want to be. Because right now, if you think about, if I'd said to you, you know, erectile dysfunction as a sexual dysfunction, erectile dysfunction, what brand comes to mind? You know, like Viagra is just there. Like there's only one thing is Viagra. But for all other dysfunctions, you know, sex drive discrepancy, vaginismus, which I know you had, you chatted about previously, you know, there's no brand, there's no company that mm-hmm. occupies that mental space. And so there's such a hole there for it to be filled, such that
you're just a big old tease.
There's a giant gaping hole that needs to be filled by someone, and I want Blueheart to do it. so that's where it's it.
It, as like a call of action then to listeners, because I know what you're saying, that you can't kind of, you don't want to define what the issues might be to get people in because you don't want to prohibit anyone to come in, but give like a far reaching. So what's your call of action to people? Who should be coming to you?
So if you are finding it, if you're in a relationship where the rhythm of sex that you previously had has changed and that's causing stress for you, either in the relationship or you internally, we are really, really well suited to helping those problems. So just as like an example, I think new parents are a perfect group for this. So this is saying, you know, one partner has gone through a substantial biological change and the rhythm of sex might have altered quite a lot, as it does when you have a new child. You know, you're tired, you're stressed, you're exhausted, and where you might have been wanting to have sex, what you have set within your relationship as, you know, something that you're both happy with, now you just don't have the energy. And unfortunately, that can cause feelings of rejection in the other partner who, you know, one of them is saying, I don't want to have sex, I don't have that drive. And it's purely, you know, it can be all down to just being fucking exhausted because it's hard to have a child. But the other partner can't help but internalize, you know, is this going to be forever? You know, why doesn't my partner want to have sex with me? Am I unattractive? You know, what's going on? And you've got one other partner feeling like they're hurting their partner because they know they want to have sex, but they can't force their body to do it. They can't force to not be tired. They can't force to not be stressed. And through that, neither party really talks to each other about it because they don't know how to. And if that goes on for, you know, years, that can create a really hostile and quite challenging environment where you've got two people that really, really love each other, but they haven't spoken about this problem for quite some time. And there's quite a lot of feelings of animosity that kind of go underneath, because they both feel frustrated, even though they want to deal with it. And so that's kind of like specifically where we would be like, we are right for you. We will give you the conversations you need to have. We will give you the exercises that are so well researched to helping this particular problem, that we can guide you through it.
The more successful you are at Blueheart in educating people, the less people are going to come to you.
I don't know if that's the case. That's okay. Look, honestly, if we've had such an impact that the world has no more sex-related problems, the company can fail. Like, but what do I care? Like, we've changed human sex forever and created a wonderful world. So, if that's what success looks like, then fuck it, I'm all for it. you've painted my dream, which is nobody has any more sex-related problems, because they're so healthy and they're just, when they have an issue, they just talk about it and they overcome it. And I'm like, yeah.
So how do people get a hold of you, Sachin? How do people find out, keep up to date with what you're up to with Blueheart?
So you can follow our social channels, Instagram, Blueheart _ therapy. Otherwise, sign up to our mailing list. We are putting out more and more material as they come, and we will keep everyone up to date, particularly with new things that are coming out. One new element that we're really looking at, that we're really excited about, is building tools for victims of sexual violence, where from the onset, we were just quite, our philosophy was do no harm, right? We just didn't want to make sure everyone is doing this safely. And when we rolled Blueheart out, we did see a lot of people coming through to us who were victims of sexual violence, our immediate reaction was, these people really need to get them help. And I think we just want to, the area which I think isn't well developed when it comes to sexual violence is, we have services for when someone knows that they're a victim of sexual violence to go and seek help, go to speak to the police. There are charities that are set up, great institutions. I'm obviously their existence is absolutely necessary. But what they kind of miss is that a lot of people don't necessarily know that they are victims of sexual violence or sexual trauma. Our traditional idea of sexual violence is, a stranger on the streets grabbed you and is being aggressive and forces you to perform sex. And in reality, there's a lot of sexual violence that happens within relationships, within marriages, and people as a result brush it off as not sexual violence or next sexual abuse, even though it is. And so I've had chats with people who they only recognized that they were abused a year or several years after the events that happened. And I just think that's awful. Like, and so we're looking at building a tool that will help someone identify whether they might be a victim of sexual abuse or violence, so that they can go and seek out help. Because you can't seek out help if you don't know that you have been a victim. I think that's one area which I think is not many people have looked at creating tools for that. And I think I don't like that exists in the world.
I think it's hard because if you've got something about sexual violence on your phone, you never know whether that person's got the kind of partner that will then look through the phone.
Okay,
so that's why, with podcasts, like that's why I always sort of say, well, podcasts could do it, because if you're a jealous partner, you're looking through text, you're looking through emails, but what you're not doing is looking through podcasts.
Interesting. So I like it.
You can have that. Save the world, Sachin.
We're totally looking at, we'll be partnering with kind of major charities that are experts in the field to make sure it's done, obviously, safely. But, I don't think it would be a static app, because again, if someone sees that and they know what it's about, then that could obviously be quite dangerous. But even something where you go through a process online that helps you self-assess to some extent. And then we can say, hey, look, this might be an issue. Here's signposting to some really good sources that might really be able to take this further. So you can take action before, to stop that from, if it is continuing to kind of like hopefully help people get there quicker if they can.
Thank you very much, Sachin Raul. Oh my God, Miranda. You were really bad. Sachin was talking about something really serious and important and you kept going on about his hair.
Yes, that was definitely me. Yes,
you kept objectifying the man.
Definitely me going on about his hair, asking him to put it in plaits and put it up. Yeah.
We're lucky that's all I said. we both know it could have been a lot worse. The apps sound great, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's for me, I'm like, also it's not just about the person that's suffering it, but their partner as well. You know, it's nice that you can both come on. Yeah, realise that there's more to it than just the physical aspect.
I've been Bibi Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols for metro.co.uk.
And you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Good Sex, Bad Sex with a triple X at the end.
And also, if you have a sexy question or a query or a topic you'd like us to talk about, get in touch at info@sexpod.co.uk.
And we are going to see you next week.